Welcome to the Sunday Monday Show, a podcast about being bold in faith, work, and life. I'm your host, Jane Kennedy. Let's get down to business.
Yeah, the last time we recorded an episode together, we were both in Santa Barbara, and now you're there with me.
That's so weird.
I will say, though, this is my... Yeah, you look very cozy. I will say this is my favorite month, though, in D.C. because, like, out my window, the trees are starting to turn and there's, like, a crisp little air. So I miss California, but during the fall, I love being here.
I'm not going to come there till it's, like, so cold again and I'll die of frostbite.
I just bought a really cute coat that I sent you a picture of, so maybe you can get a matching one.
Well, I spilled some coffee on the ground. It's fine. I did like your coat.
Strong start. Strong start. Thank you. It's so pretty. It's so pretty. We have to go back to London so I can wear it again. I'm very, very excited about it. Okay. Should we do this?
Yeah. Please tell me you're going to cut all this part out. Come on. Jane.
I feel like if people know how...
No, this the whole point of this podcast episode is that it's going to be highly edited.
Yes, in case people haven't figured this out, I don't really believe in editing podcasts. I kind of let them, I chop the top.
You didn't even give me any warning that we were starting. There's no like higher.
Your computer said we've begun recording. Hey, Erica, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh my gosh.
We get to talk about something that we are both really excited to talk about. An episode that I think has been noodling around for the better part of a year. But one that we wanted to wait and do at the right time. And no time like the present.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Right. I'm just mostly here for emotional support.
No. No, Erica is one of the most wise and wonderful and amazing people I know. And everyone who has ever heard her on the podcast, but she has been on at this point 10 times, 15 times.
Lost count.
I'm just slowly trying to make you the co-host. Episode by episode. And one day it'll happen and you won't even know.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, I feel good about it. But anyway, so as you probably saw by the title of this episode, we are talking about breakups. And breakups are not the most fun experience, but we thought that we would just have a little chat about some of the things we have experienced in going through breakups, some of the things that worked, some of the things that did not work. And yeah, just share, I don't know, some of our learnings. But yeah, if you're listening to this and you are thinking about a breakup or you are going through a breakup or you have just gone through a breakup, I would like to say that I am so sorry because it sucks a lot. It really does. And I remember I had so many people saying to me like, oh, like it won't feel like this forever and you'll probably feel better soon. And that didn't make me feel very, very much better. So I know that hearing that it's going to be better and you're going to feel great and you'll get through it, like, probably doesn't always feel that good, but it's true.
Yeah, it definitely is true. It's hard to see it when you're going through it. Like, it's hard to see the light at the end of the tunnel sometimes, but I've never met someone who has never, like, who didn't get over their breakup eventually, you know? So you probably won't be the first.
Yes. There's high chance you won't be the first. And the other reason I really wanted to do this podcast and have been, I mean, the notes I have on it, I've had them for almost a year. So it's just been, I wanted to write a lot about like how I was feeling going through the process of my breakup because I wanted to remember it. And I think that like Erica's saying, you start to forget the like really awful things because you start moving through it. And when I was going through my breakup, I remember looking for podcasts and being like, someone out here has to have some good advice for me. And like most of the advice was like, just go make out with a bunch of strangers and like go do all these things that weren't really, weren't really on my to-do list at that point. And I think especially going through a breakup as a Catholic or a Christian, like I think the relationships that end in our 20s and 30s are pretty serious. And so those breakups, I think, can be pretty like devastating, I think, in ways that are, I don't know, I think could be potentially kind of unique to this audience of people. So we really wanted to have a conversation around that and like, you know, pursuing virtue and looking to Jesus in a breakup, which not that many other podcasts are talking about. So, yeah. Any other like stipulations or things you want to say before we start?
Well, I think it's like a maybe it's a given, but I think it should be said that obviously we're talking about our own experiences here and that we're not doing this to disparage any of the people that we've dated. And we'll try to keep it just referencing our own personal experiences going through navigating breakups without revealing probably too much information that would hurt someone. So
yes,
just that caveat.
Yeah, I think that we both have a lot of love and respect for people we have dated. And nothing that we are saying in this is in any way intended to really refer to them at all. So we are just talking about our own experiences. Great. And also, we're not experts, but this is very personal. And again, it will probably be the one episode I edit. So please be patient if there are clunky transitions, because I just want to make sure that we do this in the most prudent way.
Well, yeah. And you have to like give yourself, at least right now, the mental permission to edit things out, because we want to have a candid conversation that's, you know, just real about our experiences. And you don't want to be self-censoring this entire time. So
no, and we shall not be. Okay, cool. Well, so I thought we would start with a question that I've gotten a lot this year from people, from friends, which is the question of like, I don't know if I should break up with this person. Like, should we break up? And yeah, I don't know. Erica, what are your thoughts on that? If somebody comes to you and is like, hey, like, I don't know how I feel about this. Like, you know, do you think we should break up? What's your response to that?
Well, I think I used to have a much more cynical kind of view of this sort of question. I remember when I was in my first relationship, we were long distance for the majority of our relationship. And I remember telling a friend that I had made at college, if I like ever start to have even ask that question, if is it time to break up, then it's time to break up. You know, like if I even start to ask myself, then that's a sign that it's over. And now that I've grown up a little bit, I'm no longer 18 years old. I think that is a little bit rash and unfair. I think that there should be some discernment around ending any relationship, whether that be a friendship or a romantic relationship. But I think I like to phrase this question more in a different way. I like to think, like, what are the things that are keeping me in this relationship? Which I know maybe we can talk about the details of that after we talk about why you good reasons to leave. But I think, like, if that sole primary focus of I'm in this relationship because I'm pursuing my vocation and I can visualize this person, a future with this person as my vocation. I think this person would make a good parent, a good, you know, parent to my children, a good spouse to me. As long as I'm continuing to see that, I think that's good. As long as that's my primary reason for staying in a relationship, that's good. When these other reasons to stay start to take over and become the primary reasons I'm staying in a relationship, such as primarily fears of I'm getting older and fears of I won't be able to find anyone else, fears of they're in my friend group and it's going to make things awkward, or losing a sense of stability or security around whether that's, you know, really just like your future. You know, you have a vision for your future when you're in a relationship, and that's I think one of the most difficult parts of going through a breakup is that starts to crumble, or that does crumble when you end a relationship. But if a fear of those things is the primary reasons I'm staying in a relationship, then that's the sign that I'm staying in this out of a fear of losing something rather than a genuine love for this person. And of course, like, God's call to stay in that relationship or not is a part of that as well. I don't love when people blame God for exiting their relationships or entering them, really. And we can talk more about that. But yeah, I think once you start to lose the primary reason for staying in a relationship shifts from one of love to one of fear, I think that is a really big sign, indicator that it's nearing the end.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think that similar to kind of what you were saying, I think if the question is coming up, like, should I get out of this relationship? Should this relationship end? Like, I think the temptation out of fear sometimes is to just shove that question away and to shove that feeling away, because nobody wants to go through a breakup. And like, it's not a choice really that most people want, anyone I know, whatever, really want to do. And sometimes it can be really scary to even think about it. But I do think that like pushing that question away can just make things worse. And something that was really helpful for me was when I started to think about it, I spoke to my spiritual director. I went back to therapy and met with my therapist a few times. Something that was super helpful is I went and spoke to some really wise married friends of mine. I had some friends who, like, I knew them when they were dating their spouses. And I knew they had encountered similar issues in dating. And so I called them and said, hey, like, I remember you all, you know, used to like have this issue. Like, how does that look in marriage? And that was so helpful for me because it helped me to understand, like, I think sometimes there's this idea that like getting married will solve a certain issue or a problem. And you're like, oh, it'll be fine. We'll figure it out at like that point. But like the reality is that that doesn't typically happen. And so you have to be really confident that you can live with that situation in marriage not changing. And I think it's really nice to have another perspective. I think also like sometimes we keep a lot of things very private to ourselves in a relationship because we want everyone to like, you know, the relationship and to be a fan of it. And so we don't say things or share experiences. And what was really helpful for me talking to a spiritual director or a therapist was that like they were on the outside. And so I could tell them things that were happening without feeling like their perception was going to change of me or my relationship. And I felt very safe to do that. So I think that if there are questions, like, it doesn't mean that you're going to break up with that person, but I think it's worth it to surface the question and talk about it with somebody who can help you kind of untangle why you're asking it, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's hard to ask those questions of your friends sometimes because you're afraid they're going to hold something against you maybe in the future if you end up staying with the person and that's not their opinion that you should, or... Yeah, it's just definitely helpful to have someone on the outside that you can talk to. I'm glad that you've had that.
Yeah. And I would say one other resource, Jackie Francois, I think she's Jackie Angel now, has this amazing article, and I'll link it in the show notes for this episode. But it is an article that has a list of questions basically to ask yourself if you're asking these questions. And I'm just going to ask some of them to maybe start thinking about these things, but I definitely recommend that. And I have sent that link to a lot of people who ask this question to me because, you know, it allows you to then, I don't know, kind of confront some of the reasons and maybe kind of parse out why you're thinking that. But some of the questions that I think are really important to ask is, do you feel like you're walking on eggshells with what you do or say for fear that they might break up with you? Do you have a constant pit of anxiety in your belly when you're with them or apart from them? Do you feel anxiety thinking of marrying them? Are you staying with them out of lust, out of fear of being alone, out of security, or out of the fear of finding anyone else who will be with you? It's like what Eric was saying. Are you confused about the relationship constantly? Do you go back and forth whether or not this is the one? And then are you free to be your true self, like who you are with your best friends? I think that one is so good and so important. And that one, I think, can be such an unlock for people who are struggling, is like something doesn't feel right. And I think the most frequently it's like, well, there's no freedom, right? Like no freedom to be yourself, to have like dreams and be silly and serious and all the things that you are. You know, I think God, something I have really seen in this past year is like God wants us to be with people who allow us to be more of who we are and not like less. And so if you're in a situation, friendship or other situations where you're around people who are just like making you feel kind of small and like you're not, you can't be fully who God created you to be, like that's something to think about. Like, okay, like what am I receiving from this friendship or relationship? And is it what God, like God's best for me?
Right. That just reminded me, I remember asking when I was little, I remember asking my parents how they knew that they wanted to marry each other. Because this is before I had even like been in any relationships or anything. I just was curious, like, how am I supposed to know, you know, how am I supposed to know that you're the one for me? And I remember both my parents' response was the same. They both said, I felt like I could be fully myself around your mom or your dad. So I think, yeah, that's so important because, I mean, what's the alternative? Just be putting on some sort of front and then never feeling really fully known by the other person or
I love
accepted.
that. Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you need to be with someone who's always going to tell you like everything you do is perfect and you're right and like, you know, it's not that at all. Like you do want to be with people who challenge you to grow closer to God and be more like fully alive, but I think yeah, you know the difference between someone who like is challenging you to build you up versus like challenging you in ways that are hurtful, you know?
Right. Yes.
Any other thoughts on if people are like, I don't know if I should break up, or do we feel like we've covered it?
Well, I liked that point that you read from that article about the confusion piece. Like, are you confused about the relationship constantly going back and forth about whether or not that person is the one? Because I kind of think that speaks a little bit to what I was saying before, my younger self being like, if I have any sort of an ounce of confusion about it, it's not the one, you know? So I think I took it a little bit to the extreme back then, but I just, yeah, like, I just don't think, I think p follow the peace, you know? And of course, there are going to be times in your relationship, in any relationship, that don't feel entirely peaceful. But if you're the totality of your relationship, if you can zoom out of it and take a step back and look at the common thread, the common themes, like the majority of it should feel, it should feel peaceful. You should feel peaceful when you reflect on your relationship as a whole. And to that point, I know I've been in relationships where like something has come up early on, an issue that then continues to repeat itself over and over again. And so I feel like if there's something that's kind of a big issue to you, a deal breaker in your relationship, or something that is a question mark, maybe not a red flag, but a yellow that appears early on and continues to be the thing that you come back and fight about, or continues to be the thing that makes you frustrated as the months go on in a relationship. Again, like you were saying, what's that going to look like in marriage? Can you accept that that may never go away? And a lot of times, if the answer is no, you got to get out.
Totally. And I think a lot of this too, like a lot of what we're saying is like, our own experiences, but I do think that there is such a wisdom too in like being really open and honest with the person you're dating about like, hey, like these are some things, these are some patterns I'm noticing. Like, what are your thoughts? Like, does this feel like right to you? Like, do you feel like these things are what you want? Because I think that it can be scary to go through that process of being like, I don't know if this is right. I don't know if it's not. Like, I don't know what to do. But you're also in it with someone else. And so I think there's wisdom in trying to like give other people the chance to try to like remedy some of those things. But I totally agree with you. I think that people, we all, you can learn a lot by the way that somebody acts. Like people's actions are so much stronger than their words. And I think that sometimes in situations like this, we can be very appeased by someone promising that they're going to change something, right? Or like, oh, I won't do that. Or like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'll never do that again. But you're right. Like, I think looking for patterns can be a very helpful clue and like, okay, this seems like to be a little bit more close to this person's character than just like a mistake that was made once or,
Yeah. Actions speak louder than words, they say. Gotta pay
They do.
attention to those patterns.
They do. Yeah. Okay. So hopefully there's wisdom in that. I don't know. I hope that there's clarity. I'm
Sure.
sorry. This all just sucks, talking about these things. But I do think though, I think a big thing that you said about the fear, like something someone said to me this year, which was so helpful, was someone said to me that like you might feel like in ending a relationship, you are farther away from marriage, but you are actually closer to the right marriage. So if that's what you need to hear, like yes, you could be like, oh, but this, like, we could make this work and we could figure it out and, like, we'll force it and it'll be fine. Like, ultimately, that's like decades and decades and decades of your life of trying to force something. And the sooner that you're able to, like, walk away from a relationship and then begin healing, which we'll talk about in a moment, what that looks like, the sooner you're going to be available for that relationship that, could, will be a much better marriage.
Right. Like if a fear of being single is really driving you to stay with a person, think about like, okay, what if you did get married to this person and then you met someone, you meet someone 5 years into your marriage, that's like, you know, dang, I could have maybe not settled for this, who someone who's not struggling with those same repetitious issues. At that point, the right thing to do is obviously to stay with the person you married. But
vows.
You know, I think I thought about that a lot towards the end of some of my relationships. Like, I think if you can flip that fear from like a fear of, oh, well, I'm not going to find someone else. Well, like, what about the fear of, what if I do find someone else and I made the wrong choice here? You know, like it works both ways. And I also like to think about, I always thought about this, like from the flip side perspective, would I be happy if I knew, how would I feel if I knew my partner was staying with me for this reason?
Oof.
And if the answer is bad, then I don't want to make that person, it's not loving to stay with a person for any other reason than that you love them and that you want them to be your rock and your vocation, and you feel God is calling you to that.
Mm-hmm.
There's really no other reason to stay, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, it's very true. I think that there's, I think that fear, I think you would put such a good perspective on it with fear. We don't want to do things out of fear. And God also, like, God is never trying to trick us. And I think that's a big thing that I, you know, that's helpful to know, is like, God's not trying to trick you. Like, if you're feeling a lack of peace or struggling with something, like, he's not out here trying to trick you. Like, if you squint and you turn your head a little bit and then you just like release all these expectations you have, like, I think there's like a lot of conversations that happen in like the dating, Catholic dating space around like, well, your standards are too high and your expectations are too high. And like, I don't know, my word of the year is abundant. And if I've seen anything this year, it is that God is abundant and he is so, so good. And he gives us everything we need. And he loves us so, so much. And he opens doors. He can fling them open and he can also slam them shut. And so we don't have to be discouraged. If something is really, really hard, it's probably a reason to maybe check in on why it's so hard, because you don't really want it to be. And also, the dating phase is supposed to be fun. Like, it's supposed to be fun. It's fun to like go do things and go on dates and like fall in love, and those things are fun. So why do we make things so hard on ourselves when it's, you know, it's a struggle?
Yeah. Well said.
Amazing. Okay, so onward. All right, so these are, again, as I mentioned, I've been keeping these notes for a long time. So these are the things that I wrote down, and we're going to kind of go through some of the lessons that I learned. Most of these, many of these were told to me again and again by Erica, who's sitting here. Okay, so I think the thing that was probably the most helpful at the very beginning was to just like not have a timeline of like my expected healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had very high expectations for myself that like it was going to take me a couple of weeks and I was going to be great. And that wasn't quite the reality. I think that there's like, Erica sent me this amazing YouTube video that I will also link from our favorite YouTuber, Caroline Winkler. We love her. But she made this amazing YouTube video on breakups. And I love it so much because it just like gave a lot of language to a lot of the things that I think happen, where it's like, you have a few weeks or a few months that are really, really good. And then you have a day or a week that's bad. And then a few weeks or days that are really good. And then a week that's bad. And I think that like pretty early on, I would say within like the first month, I was in prayer and I just was like, Jesus, I give you permission to take as long as you need to for my healing, because I don't want to carry any wounds or anger or expectations or any of those things into my next relationship. And let me just tell you, the Lord took his sweet old time with that healing, which I can't blame him for, cause I gave him permission, but yeah, I think that there was just a very gentle unfolding of healing and unfolding of grace. And I'm so grateful for the way that he has and like continues to bring about healing. But it definitely was not like, people will be like, oh, it's like half the length of your relationship, or like it should take 3 months, or it should take, you know, the length of your relationship, or four times the length of your, I don't know. Everyone has their own like expectations for how long something's supposed to take. And I think I very much was like, I'm going to beat everybody and I'm going to be like fine in a month. And when that didn't happen, it was a little disappointing.
Sure. I mean, of course. I mean, well, so I think we should probably maybe give a little bit of context I haven't been through a breakup in a while, and I've only I would say I've been through one really bad breakup, and the other ones were fine. I don't know. Not fine, but
You
they
knew you would
were.
survive.
Yes.
You knew
There
you would
was
survive
one.
all of them, but after the first
The
one, you were
first one
like,
I
"This will be
actually
good."
didn't know I would survive. The first one, because I really do think, that's just my opinion. This isn't gospel truth, my opinion. I think the first relationship is always, like, the first serious relationship is the hardest to get over if it ends, because you're not just, of course, and we're gonna talk about this in a later point, I'm sure, but like, you're not just getting over the person, like, you're getting over this entire future that you saw with them. And in your first relationship, when you're first falling in love, it's so easy to just throw caution to the wind and go all in and, you know, invest your entire self super quickly. And then when things don't work out, it's extremely painful to try to pull yourself out of that reality, or this, not even the reality, the vision that you had for your life, and to craft a new one. It's so tough. It feels like your life is literally ending and you have to start it over again. But the reason I just brought that up is because I think it's helpful to have some context. Like, my first relationship was a little over 3 years long, and like I said, I was pretty young, and when it ended, same as you, I was just so expectant of myself to get over it much more quickly. He ended up moving on very quickly, so that made things extra hard for me, because I of course witnessed all of that, or heard about it at least. And yeah, so I think I put so much pressure on myself, like you were saying, to just be over it, and that added so much pain and suffering to my life unnecessarily. Like, you are so wise to say the things that you're saying, like letting yourself go through it. If there was one piece of advice I could give to anyone going through a breakup, it would just be one word, and it would be allow. Just, like, let yourself feel it. Like, let yourself go through it. Because if you think about it, like, that if you don't let yourself, if you're beating yourself up about how long it's taking you to get over a person, or to get healed, or to get through this pain, you're not just experiencing the pain of the breakup. You're then also compounding that pain and experiencing the second layer of pain and frustration at yourself for feeling that pain, which is just insane. So, it's much easier said than done. But I just, if I could go back to my former self and tell her something to do during that time, it would just be like, let yourself feel it. Let yourself be sad for literally as long as it takes. Because you can't, I think we use the term get over a lot, or I do, but what I really mean is you have to get through it. Like, there's no getting over it. The only way over is through. And the longer, or the more you struggle and fight against these feelings of pain and despair, like, the worse it's gonna get. You just gotta, it's counterintuitive, but you just gotta let go and let yourself be sad for a while, you know?
I would say it was I do not naturally, I'm not a naturally sad person. I don't like to be sad. It makes me pretty uncomfortable. Not anymore. I'm very good at it now. But I will say that, like, I think for years before this most recent year, I like really didn't cry. Like I just was not a crier. I think like when I was a kid, if you ask anyone I went to like elementary school with, like, "Oh, what was Jane like?" They'd be like, "She cried every day." 'Cause I did. I cried all the time. I was very sensitive. And then as you learn in middle school, you can't cry every day because you'll get made fun of. So I think I like really learned how to internalize a lot of that. And even in the first couple months after this breakup, I really didn't want anyone to know that it was hard, that I was like sad. And I did an incredibly bad job of hiding these things, incredibly bad job of hiding these things. And I remember one specific night I went to dinner with my friend. And we were at dinner and we were just chatting. And I was like, "Everything's great. Things are good. Like, I have a date tomorrow. All these things are great. I'm doing so good." I like went home and I looked at my phone and she had texted me and she was like, "Hey, like, I know that, you know, you are so strong and like you're gonna be okay. And like, I know this is like so hard." And I'm like, I get emotional thinking about it because it just was like so clear that she saw that I like was not, that I needed, that I wasn't okay, and that I was really trying to like make sure everybody thought I was okay. And it was just this invitation to just kind of break open a little bit. And I think that like those last 6 months of business school for me were just the most impactful ever because I made real relationships with my friends. Like I had friends, but you know, as soon as I started to open up with like, hey, like I'm really struggling, all of them, everyone had something that they opened up about. And it was like, I cried every single day. I cried all the time. And it was beautiful because sometimes I would cry because I was sad. And then sometimes I would cry because I was so overwhelmed with how much I was loved. Like I was so overwhelmed by like, I would have friends who would like walk up to me in the hallway and hand me like a Levain cookie because I love cookies. And so when I say I cried every day, I would like be crying in the hallway because I was just like, I just felt so loved, so loved. And it was also a really good experience of like holding sorrow and joy at the same time. Like I'd be experiencing something so, so joyful, but like there was still like, I was still mourning something, you know? And yeah, so what you're saying, you have to allow the feelings because it wasn't until I started letting myself cry things out and cry in front of people and make it known to people that I like needed them. Everything became better because I didn't feel like I was on an island by myself anymore. I felt like I had all these people in little rowboats, like bringing me cookies and bottles of wine and love. And like, it was really nice, you know?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I think that brings up like a good point about, because I think you can hear, be patient and let yourself go through it. But then you're like, what are the consequences of that for my friends or the people in my life? You know, because I feel like you said, you're not a sad person. I think there's an element of not wanting to be a burden to people around
Yes.
you when you're going through this sadness. And I know I've felt that at times too. But this is like goes back to why you have got to find some good friends and some spiritual direction.
Yep.
And it really does help, like you were saying earlier, to have someone outside of the situation that you can, that's like paid ideally to to listen to you, talk about it, because then you can get over the feeling of feeling burdensome to your friends, but also just as your friend having supported you through this, and like you've done this for me as well, we can get over the maybe momentary frustration. I've always been like just on your team, you know, and what needing to be there for, I'm willing to be there for you in any way that I need to help you get through what you're going through. And so I think having friends that are understanding of what you're going through and also patient, it's so important to just have this space to be sad also, because a lot of times we don't really feel like we have that.
I could not imagine. I truly could not imagine going through a breakup without having good friends around you. Like it makes so much sense why people go back to relationships they know aren't right, because it is so overwhelming and it can feel like, well, what's the quickest fix here? But having good people around you who like, also having people around you who aren't going to sit there and like bash this person you dated. Like you don't need that. Like they're going to instead, like my friends were so good about just building me up. And like, I think going through a breakup, like you, there's a lot of things that can get all twisted around in your head about who you are and your identity and your value and your worth. And so having good friends who would sit there and kind of reaffirm me in like who I was and like how much God loved me, you know, whether or not they, you know, directly talked about God to me, there was kind of that, which was so helpful. And the other thing I think that you said that was really good too is like, yeah, people will be like, time heals all wounds, but that's not true. It's like time that's spent well heals all wounds, right? Like, so in that time, like you can either spend time running away or trying to get attention from other people or like doing all these things that like can feel like the right fix, but are ultimately you're just pushing the ball down the road. And like at a certain point, the beach ball that is like getting shoved under the water is going to explode out at you. And I had those moments because there were moments when I was just like, I just don't want to deal with this right now. Like, how can I avoid these feelings? But they'll always come back and like, you got to work through them. Like you said.
For sure. That's something that I learned through therapy is like when you have these feelings of, you know, wanting to avoid any of the negative feelings that you're experiencing, they're not going to go away. If you avoid them, you have to confront them. You have to feel them. And yeah, it sucks, but you're going to be so much better off in the long run if you do that rather than just kicking the can down the road.
Yeah, totally. And I think something else that you said that was actually a really big piece of wisdom that I heard early on was I had some friends over for dinner, and one of the girls said to me, she said, you know, oftentimes when we go through a breakup, the thing isn't really the thing. Like the breakup isn't really the cause of the pain. There's usually like other things, whether like maybe that relationship was, you know, you were using that as a shield for, you know, rejection, like wounds that you've had around rejection or wounds you've had around your identity. Or like you kind of said, I think mourning for me, what took so much time and what was so painful, oh my gosh, so painful, was mourning what I thought my life would look like, or mourning what I thought the future looked like.
Right.
I really thought that a lot of things that I wanted so badly and still want so badly were like right in my hands, like right in my grasp. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm about to get married and about to start having kids. And like, this is all I've ever wanted. And having to lose that, I mean, it's not really a lot, but the way in which it felt to me was like my whole future was just like wiped clean. And that was so scary. Like it became exciting, but at the time and for a long time, it was just like, am I ever going to have a chance at this again? And like, I don't know. I think that was really hard, was having to mourn what I thought my life was going to look like in the short term.
For sure. I'm sure so anyone who's gone through a breakup can relate to that. But yeah, what you also just said about, am I ever going to, you know, rebuild? Am I ever going to have that again? I think I remember listening to when I was going through my big breakup, I came across another person on YouTube named Matthew Hussey. I'm sure if you've gone through a breakup, you probably have found him too. But there was a video of his that I watched. What'd you say?
Delightful British man.
Yes, yes. There was a video of his in which he said something along the line, like he was making this distinction between, I think, clean pain in a breakup and dirty pain in a breakup. Or I don't know if he used those phrases exactly or if I'm getting that from somewhere else. But essentially he was talking about it's a lot less painful. It's still painful, but it's a different kind of pain to experience the pain of like losing a person that you thought was really great in your life. And, you know, being sad about that person being absent from your life now. There's a difference between that kind of pain and the pain about a pain of that stems from a feeling of this was my vocation, this was my person, and I missed it. And so I really think you have to be really careful about the thoughts you're allowing yourself to think when you are going through a breakup. And a lot of those thoughts are put there in our heads, I'm sure of it, by the enemy. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about being Christian, being Catholic, and going through a breakup is that you are not in it alone. You have Jesus to bring into the garden of your thoughts with you and help you trim out all the weeds. And so I think if you can become really good at encountering those negative thoughts that are not helpful, that this is my vocation that I missed, or this is never going to happen again for me, to really stop and confront those, what they are, lies, with the help of Jesus. And I'm a huge fan of renouncing lies alongside the Lord, you know, bringing him into it and saying, in the name of Jesus, I renounce this lie. And then also replacing that lie with truth. In the name of Jesus, I announce the truth that, I think it's just super important to be really intentional and mindful of the things that you're allowing yourself to think and the things that you're accepting to be true about yourself or the situation when you're going through a breakup.
I love that. Yeah. I think that it's the whole story, right? Of the whole story that we tell ourselves about a relationship or about what it meant or what it means, you know, we're going to have or not have. And like, I totally agree. I think the enemy has such fertile ground there to just come at us and make us feel like, I don't know, just really attack us. And I think that can be very overwhelming when you are in a situation where you are trying to kind of rebuild. And I think, yeah, we're so blessed to have our faith. And I, you know, I went to so many holy hours. I was at holy hour every single day. I was at daily mass every single day. I just like so desperately wanted healing. And I went to healing masses like all over New York City and like healing retreats. And I just was like, I'm just going to spiritually get myself healed real fast. And it was a very gentle, I think it's Saint Teresa of Avila says something along the lines of like, the Lord always like pricks our heart with like just the right amount of like pain right? I probably butchered that, but when I read that, it made a lot of sense to me, because I was like, if I had to face the whole tsunami of pain I was going to face in that first like week or in the first couple weeks, I would have had a heart attack and died. Like, it's so much pain. But because it was spread over time, and then every day there were consolations and there were gifts of friendship and support and love and joy. And like, you know, it was so good to have things to look forward to. And like, it was just so beautiful to have that, like, that joys that, like, when those little pricks came, and they came frequently, it was like, oh, I can receive this in a heart that is already like so secure in knowing that I'm loved, and so secure in knowing I'm being taken care of. And so those pricks were able to be like, I didn't love them. it wasn't my favorite, but it did feel like, I was like, okay, like the Lord is being very generous and gentle with me in allowing like these little pricks so that then they can heal, and prepare for the next little prick, you know?
Totally. I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on this, because I think another thing that comes up often when you're going through a breakup is this idea of healing. Like, what does it look like? What does it mean to be fully healed from a breakup? And do you ever really experience full and total healing? I remember a friend of ours in college asking, when I was again going through this big one, asking me, like, do you think that Jesus is capable of fully healing you, like 100%? And in my analytical brain, I'm like, well, what does that even mean? Like, there's no way I can take some sort of test to see if I'm like 100% healed. Like, what would I score? I don't know. Of course, I believe that Jesus wants us to be whole, wants us to be fully healed of all the wounds that inflict us as we go through life. But I do think it's dangerous to kind of have this measuring stick of like, okay, where am I at on the road to healing? So I'm curious about to see if like you have any thoughts about how to handle that, those thoughts that come up.
Of total healing?
Yeah, of like, how do you combat this idea of like, or how do you approach, I guess, the idea of healing? Do you think it's healthy to expect 100% healing? And also, how do you know when you've reached that?
Okay. I have these notes that I'm going through that I have been keeping since like last December. And I have, you see behind me, pages and pages of journals. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of evidence as to how I was feeling 6, 7, 8 months ago. I also have, my school does this thing called Follies, which is like this, it's like a comedy show. And they film different sketches and skits. And I remember a couple of months ago, I was with my friends I was visiting my friend and her husband, and we were talking about it. I was like, oh, let me show you this video. And so I showed them this video. We did like a Harry Potter parody. And I showed them this video, and like, I'm in this video, and you can just see, like, I have these huge circles under my eyes. I had lost so much weight. You could just see that I was like not sleeping. I was struggling. I wasn't eating. Like, there was just, it was a time of like, I was really sad. And gosh, it's like, I look at that and I'm like, I am so grateful that like God brought me through that, you know, because at that moment, it was like every day I woke up and I was like, okay, like, let's go do something. Let's like get out. Let's get out. Let's go do something you love to do. And let's like remember that like God is working in this, and like he loves you in this. And like, and that video, like filming that video that day was so fun. But I remember thinking like, oh, I didn't sleep at all last night. I like walked in with my third cup of coffee, and like that's where I was. And I was still getting up and going and doing things, which I think was really helpful for me. But like, I look at that, and that's like, that was one of the first times I saw like how far God had brought me in healing, you know, was like, oh, I'm sleeping again. And like, I eat now. Like, I have way more better days than I don't, you know? And so like, I don't know if people going through this, I don't know if I would recommend you film videos for yourself, because it could be pretty depressing. And that video is definitely gonna be on YouTube for the rest of my life. See it, you'll see, and you'll know why I look like a ghoul. But
I did something really similar. I mean, actually with the intention of documenting my sadness when I was going through it. my breakup, I filmed a video in our sorority house,
I
just in my room, on
it.
the
Drama
floor.
queens.
And I think it's, I scrubbed that from my phone. I hope nobody ever finds that. It's probably not even good to mention publicly, but yeah, it does. I think those, I'm glad. I know that makes you emotional to see, but like, I'm glad that you have that evidence of, this is where I was and this is where I've come and or where God's brought me. And yeah, what a powerful testament to, again, not just the passage of time that's brought that healing for you, but the work that God's done in that time, the work that you've done also in cooperating with his grace. So I'm very proud of you and really grateful to God for the healing that he's given you this far. And I think God is, I think my own answer to this is I'm not sure, but I like think God does want our total healing. I'm not sure to what extent we can experience that in this life. But seek it out. Seek God's healing as much as possible. Go to all those healing masses.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I loved my healing masses. I will also say that early on, like I tried so many things, but early on I was like, I am going to be thankful for this. And so I would pray, like, thank you, God, so much for this breakup. Thank you, God, so much for this experience. Thank you, God. I know you're doing something in it that like is good. And like I kind of knew that was true. But then I started to actually experience like I think that I used to see friends go through breakups, and after about a month, I would be like, okay, good, they're good now, you know? Because I had no level of compassion. Like, I'd never been through a breakup like this big before. And so I had no concept of like, oh, like, yeah, you're probably fine for a little bit, but then there's going to be moments here and there. And like, the fact that I had so many friends who were like, hey, if in 6 months you are having a bad day, like, call me. And the fact that I had people who knew to say that, and I remember being like, are you kidding? 6 months from now, I'm going to be like, probably married, like to somebody else. Because in my head, I just was like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm gonna be fine. It's 6 months is gonna be so over. But like people knew because they had the experience, right? And I don't know, they had the wisdom for that. And now I've gotten to see, like, as I've watched friends go through breakups, I had a friend call off her wedding this summer. I've just seen that, and I feel like I can love people in a way that I never understood before.
So true, yeah.
I'm so grateful for it. Like I really am now so grateful for this experience, for all that pain. I wouldn't wish it on any person. And again, if you're listening to this and you're in it, I am so sorry. I would not, I yeah, but it's been really beautiful to see what God has done in this for me in terms of allowing me to like love people better.
And I think that we gain a lot of wisdom. Of course, it feels really terrible when you're going through, but I really don't think that there's any experience that you can go through in life that gives you more wisdom in your life. Like whether that's for use in your friendships later, as you're advising people, like you're saying, or for yourself. Like I just think, I mean, I just have to say, I'm like so impressed with the grace and. Yeah, just how you have got navigated this breakup. Because from the outside, like of course I was able to give you advice and things based on my own experience, but like a lot of the things that I was telling you were based off of mistakes I had made. And so I fully expected you to like not take my advice sometimes and to experience to do the what I think is the wrong thing and to experience the consequences of that yourself so that you could gain that experiential wisdom. Because that's how I gained it, is through experience, through making the mistakes. But like you have made so many less mistakes. What am I trying to say? So how do you say that?
Many fewer, many
So many
fewer, I
fewer
think.
mistakes. Yeah. So many fewer mistakes than me. I'm a grammar girly, I swear, but that one was hard. You've made so many fewer mistakes than me. And like, not that we're comparing ourselves here, but like, I just kudos to you for, like being able to learn from other people's mistakes. I think that's such a gift, and it's one that maybe I don't possess as well.
Yeah, it was kind of annoying sometimes because I'd be like, okay, guys, so should I do this? And everyone would be like, we all did it, but you shouldn't.
Yeah. Literally, that's exactly how it
You and five other people, like, yes, girl, I've made that mistake so many times, but you probably shouldn't do it. And it's like, oh, it's just so annoying. But yeah, I was like, okay, like I'm not gonna do it. But yeah, yes, I appreciate you and the many friends who gave such wisdom in Yeah, I think yeah, that
If
was fair.
anyone needs some like more specific advice about something you're going through, should I do this or should I not? I'll tell you about them. I probably did it. And so you can reach out to me and I'll tell you how it will turn out.
Well, I think, I mean, we can cut this if we need to, but I think that like one of the specific pieces of advice is like, I don't know, talking to the person
That's
after
what I
you have gone
was,
through a
this is
breakup.
100% what I'm thinking about. Like I, in every single breakup I've been through, I have been in full contact with the person after breaking up. And it's so dumb. Like, don't do that. You're prolonging your suffering. You're also prolonging the other person's suffering, likely. It's just, I blame it on, I'm bad at goodbyes. I don't wanna, I'm clinging to what was. I'm clinging to the past. And so it's hard for me to make that clean break. You did so much better at that than me, like all around. So great job.
Yeah, I think that there's probably, and I think there's probably a little piece of everyone that's like, oh, well, like maybe if we have one more conversation, then we'll really understand each other better. And like, it's just, that's just, I think that it can just open up more things than it needs to. Like, I don't think there's really going to be a point of everyone saying everything they need to say, you know?
And like, be real with yourself. Like, why are you actually wanting to talk to this person? If I was real with myself all those times, it was 100% out of selfish desire to like still get attention from these people and to, not be alone and to feel like I still had a connection with someone. And especially like, if you're I think it's different depending on if you're the person who did the breaking up or were broken up with. But in situations where I did the breaking up with people, I think there was this desire to like have my cake and eat it too. I didn't want to be with this person anymore, but I also wanted them to know like I'm a good person and I still
Yep.
care about you and
Yeah.
you still have to love me.
Yeah. I remember I made a big deal about like, I'm gonna do this. Like, yes, I'm breaking up with you, but I'm doing it in the most loving, kindest way.
Yeah, I'm
I'm
a
gonna be
saint
the most,
actually.
I'm gonna be the most kind thing. And unfortunately, like, as I heard, like, you don't, no one experiences that as loving or kind. Like, no matter how much you try to do those things, and like even like trying to not talk to someone, like again, 100% of that is coming out of a place of like, I care about protecting you, and this is not going to be good for you or for me. But it's hard to then be like, but I hope they know it's because of this or that. And like, there's just like, I hate being misunderstood. And I think going
Yes.
through a breakup, like, you are going to be misunderstood. Like, you cannot control the narrative. And I, one more thing that this reminds me of too is like, you don't owe anybody an explanation for your breakup. Just the number of people who really wanted information and stories and answers and were confused. Like, again, we've kind of talked about this, but like, you keep a lot of things private. Like, not everyone knows everything that's going on. And so when you go through a breakup, it can be a surprise to other people who weren't in that relationship. And then everybody wants to know why, and everybody wants to know what happened, and everybody wants to know all these things. And like, then once they know all those things, then they're like, well, you guys should just get back together. Like, you could fix
Exactly.
everything.
It's like, oh, thank you so much for putting that in my head.
Thank you so much for your insight. So that being said, just you have total permission. I had a party line. Like, I had one sentence I would say to everyone. If anybody asked, it was very, very politically correct. And I was just like, yeah, thank you for your support.
Campaign trail.
Yeah, because like, yeah, because people want to fix things. And
There's a danger in opening up too much to too many people about your breakup, I think, because then you receive so many opinions about what you did, what you could have done differently, what you should do now. And it's really nobody's business but yours, you know?
No. Yeah. Okay, let me look at my other notes. What else do I have?
Let me know.
Mm-mm-mm.
Well, I also have your notes.
Yeah, I shared all my super, super deep notes with you. I think just like,
I like the line that says make out with strangers.
I was explaining that was what all the other podcasts were telling me to do. They
Just
didn't do.
no contact.
For the record,
Oh, she did not.
I did avoid
I can
that pitfall.
attest.
Yeah, I think that a huge thing I had to come back to all the time, again and again and again. Huh, what are you laughing at? No, what did I say?
You didn't say anything. I just read on your notes, just like what I'm learning right now, number 11.
Oh yeah. At the end of my relationship, I dyed my hair brown. And then 3 days after we broke up, I dyed it blonde again.
So her number 11 says, I'm meant to be blonde.
It is true. What? At that point, I just needed something. I needed something to lift me up. I think, yeah. The biggest lessons I have learned in this, one, which is just the daily, like, Jesus, I trust in you. Like, Jesus, I trust in you. Like, God is such a good father. And if you like, I was on a retreat a few weeks ago and had this amazing, amazing meditation of just like sitting, of the meditation was like, imagine that Jesus is presenting you to his father. And I had this, oh, everyone go do it. But I had this amazing meditation of being in this like big ballroom and Jesus introducing me to God the Father. And it was just this like amazing moment of just laughing, just laughter. Because the other thing I have learned about God, the good Father, is that he has a sense of humor that is truly ridiculous. Like he knows my sense of humor. He created me. He knows my sense of humor. And he just has not stopped with the jokes. Like he just knows how to make me laugh. And so I think like what's been really helpful is like having a sense of lightheartedness in a lot of these situations and being like, oh my gosh, of course. Like, why am I surprised when like these things happen? Or I don't know. Like, it's just his sense of humor is so funny. And I think that's been a massive gift in this year has been like, okay, God is a good father. He loves me so much. And he has a hilarious sense of humor and just like doesn't want me to take things so seriously, you know? Yeah.
Love that.
You have any final words of wisdom or thoughts? I'm gonna go back through my list here really quick.
I think just that, if you are going through a breakup, just remember that you're not alone in it, that God is there with you, and do your best to lean on Him as much as possible. And again, just allow yourself to go through it. That's my main message. Let yourself go through it. Because I think I must have prolonged my own, I guess, healing time, if we want to call it that, my own time of pain and suffering by like, I would say 100%, 50 to 100%. I probably extended that amount of time because of just how like in denial I was, and how there was a lot of untangling, like you said, that needed to happen between my heart and what I thought I had, and what I, and a lot of it wasn't even real, you know? Like you just form these attachments to these ideas in your head of, yes, the future, but also like false ideas of who this person was, all of that. It gets really complicated and messy after you end a relationship. So, just do your best to stay in the reality of what is and not let yourself go down the rabbit hole of what ifs. That's something that my therapist taught me.
Yeah, I love that. I think that there is such a temptation to like run into the future or to relive things in the past and like those things, like you're not in that right now. Like you're in the present and God has good things for you here and in the present. And I think this is also like it's also a really good invitation to hope because I think that hope is one of the quickest ways that we can lift ourselves towards healing, right? Is like because I think a lot of the sorrow and a lot of the pain was like, am I ever going to meet somebody? Like, am I ever going to find someone who like is going to be a really good fit for me? And like, you know, like I think that going through a breakup can make bring those questions up. And I think like having hope is really good. And also it allows you to dream again, like in a new way. Like I think that something that happens when you're in a relationship is that for better or worse, your options go like kind of narrow because you are trying to kind of build a life with someone else. And that can feel really comfortable because you're like, okay, good. I don't have to make these decisions about my life because I have another person who like they're going to influence my decisions. And that's a really hard thing when you lose that other person's limitations, I guess. It sounds negative, but I think it can be positive. But you know,
No, it
when you lose
is.
their limitations on your life, all of a sudden the world's your oyster again. Like you could live anywhere, you could do anything, you could marry anybody. Like you have all of these options now. And like that's very overwhelming.
It's just like if I could say a brief analogy. Most people know I'm a vegetarian, mostly, you know, I'm a freegan, so I'm a flexitarian. I eat mostly vegetarian. It's just like when I go to a normal restaurant, I like having the constraint of there's only a couple things on this menu I can eat. I've gotten so used to that. And it actually helps me because I don't have the decision fatigue of like, I have to make all these choices. When I go to a vegan restaurant, I'm like, what do I order? I get so overwhelmed. And there's this fear of missing out all of a sudden of what if I get something that I don't like? And what about that? You know, I have to make a choice and say no to all the rest. I think the same sort of thing happens. I know it's a little bit more serious when it's your love life, but I think the same thing sort of happens when those constraints are removed, like you're saying, and then all of a sudden you have this total freedom of choice that can actually be super scary.
Yeah, it can be really scary and overwhelming, and it puts the ball back in your court totally, right? In a way that you maybe had gotten pretty comfortable with, like, oh, I don't have to make these decisions on my own. But I think it's also really exciting to actually think about, like, when I finally could get to that place of like, oh, wow, like, I could really do anything in my work, or like, I could really like kind of live anywhere, or, you know, I can be open to dating these new people that I've like, I don't know. I just think that like, there were a lot of gifts that came from that. Once I got over the overwhelm of like, oh, I have to make decisions again, you know? And yeah, I just think that the Lord is very, very gentle and good about those things. And something I've been thinking about a lot this week specifically is just in praying about like being present in the present moment, just like living a life from inspiration and not obligation, like doing the duties we have, staying in a state of grace and like living a life that is inspired. It's like going and doing things that we really desire to do versus like, I have to go do this. I have to go make this happen. And like, there are lots of gifts in being able to kind of rediscover those things that you love that, you know, maybe you put aside, when you're in a relationship, you know, your time is very different. Time is spent very differently. And I don't know, it just frees you up to be in new places and meet new people. And there are really exciting things about it once you get through that initial kind of a disappointment.
For sure. I think it would be valuable to do like a whole singleness episode because there's so much more I could say about that. I think I'm a professional single person at this point. So I have
Erica
lots
gets
of
out on lots of dates. She's beautiful and tall and very smart and very lovely.
This isn't an advertisement, James.
It is. I'll put her picture up on Instagram.
Oh, no.
For the six guys who are listening to this, you'll see her photo. I think that one, we kind of talked about this at the beginning, but I do think that one of the biggest fears around going through a Catholic breakup and why I think that Catholic community is so stressed about that thing, that idea, is because we do value marriage so much. Like, we value marriage. Marriage is our vocation. It's like, you know, God willing, we think it's our vocation, and God is like here to like guide us towards that, which is a gift and beautiful and good. And so when something doesn't work out, it can feel kind of like, okay, like I feel like lost in space a little bit here. And like, no, there's such an invitation for God to work good things. And one more thing that really, really helped me was I talked to a lot of people who had been engaged or who had been in serious relationships before they met their current spouse. And like that, those were the most helpful conversations for me, hands down, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this pain, like you went through this situation. And now you're with someone amazing and you have this beautiful marriage of 30, 40 years. Like, that was helpful. So if you can find people, who have walked through it and tell you how glad they are that they did that, it'll be very beneficial.
Yeah, and also, like, I've also talked to married friends, and I think doing that also gives you a new perspective of like, okay, these people are married, but they still have normal people problems. Like, I think it's a really big temptation, especially when you're in the midst of a breakup or whenever you find yourself in a season of singleness, a prolonged season of singleness especially. I think it's really easy to start to make an idol out of marriage and to start to view it as an end in itself. Yeah. When really we know, or we believe, that marriage is a means to an end. It's like for you and your spouse's sanctification on the way to heaven. And I just think if you're tempted to start to think, oh, my life is going to be complete or happy or better once I achieve this, once I finally am in my vocation. I think that's so easy to do, but that's a really big sign that you're treating marriage kind of like an idol and like an end in itself.
And it's way more likely you're going to settle for something that isn't good because you're so desperately desiring marriage that you will put aside all of those other things in order to get this thing that, as Erica said, like it's not going to fix, as we've been told by people who are married, it doesn't fix all the problems.
I think a great scripture verse to meditate on when you're single or going through a breakup, this has been on my heart, and it was just, I think, this last Sunday, it was St. Paul talking about how he, where it is in the Bible, talking about how he's learned to accept and live comfortably in times of lack and in times of plenty, or I don't know
how. Abundance is the word.
Okay, abundance, correct. Okay, sorry. How could I get that wrong? I'm so sorry.
The word of the year.
But I think about that so much. I'm like, I want to be like that. I want to be like St. Paul, because it's really, I mean, it so ties into my love of like life coaching and the model and everything about how your circumstances are neutral. And it's really your thoughts about those circumstances that create your feelings about them. So you could be going through tough times, tough breakup times. That certainly doesn't feel neutral, but it's really just like the thoughts that you have about it. And you just have to really get through today. You know, you really just have to live today, and today is good, and God's grace is abundant here.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. I think that, yeah, there's like remembering that like God like always wants our best, and like he's a good father. He's not trying to trick us. And like, if the best thing for you right now was to be married, then you would be, right? Like God is always working out something good. And the number of friends I have who've married guys who like, you know, had been in the seminary and then, you know, left the seminary and, you know, would have been in the seminary when these girls were like on their knees praying for their husbands. Like God's timing is so good. And as I've mentioned, he has a sense of humor, and like, yeah, his timing is good. And I know, and I've seen it and I've experienced it, like giving up like God's desires for your life to try to like be in a relationship or make a relationship work is just not it. Like he has so much for you, and he has so much for the people that like, you know, you're dating and you're with. Like he just has so much for us, and we have to trust him in that. You know, the grasping doesn't really get us closer to the joy that he wants for us. And he wants the best for us.
True dat. I'm sorry if you can hear like a vacuum or a leaf blower in the background now.
It's okay. We've been talking for a little while. Any last thoughts for the third time? You have so many last thoughts. There's so many things to talk about in this. I promise your life will be so good. Like your life is going to get so good. And I just remember praying and crying and being like, I just want to feel normal again. And I've got good news for you. I've got bad news for you. You're never really going to feel normal again. Like you're going to feel better in a lot of ways, but like, I think that like who I was before this relationship and this breakup is different from who I am now.
Well, yeah, like, you're not going to go back to the version of you that was before this relationship and before this breakup. Yeah. I will push back. I think you will feel normal. It's just going to be a new normal.
It's a new normal. And I think it's a better normal in a lot of ways. Like I think that I can love people better. I think I'm a lot more discerning and a lot more prudent. I think I know myself better. Like I think that there's a lot of joy ahead, even if it feels like you're struggling.
One day you'll get to the point 11 years down the road and you will text your best friend, oh, today I just realized it would have been my 11 year anniversary with this person, and you will feel nothing and it will be okay. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And like, I know, I think a lot of people who are going through breakups don't want that, right? They're still in a place of like, I don't want to not have feelings for this person. There's that to get over too, but accept the reality. That's the work of today, I think, if you're going through.
And allow, right?
Accept and allow, correct.
Accept and allow. Yeah, and I think just be, like, allow yourself to have excitement about the future, because I think that, like, yeah, God's plans are very, very good for us. And find yourself a friend like Erica. Find yourself a friend who's going to get on the phone with you whenever you need it.
I'll be anyone's breakup friend if you need it.
I will too now. I think I will very happily. Yeah, if you need to text somebody something or you want to FaceTime and eat dinner or something, just reach out.
So cute.
But yeah, it's a journey, and again, so sorry if you're walking through it. It will get better. And God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. All right. I think that's it.
The end.
The end. We figured it out. We fixed it.
We fixed all your problems.
Your problems are gone. Wow, we're so effective.
We did it for free also. You're welcome.
It was free. Jeez Louise. Okay, I love you a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
If you liked it, if you enjoyed it, if you learned something, we would be so appreciative if you shared it with a friend. Shoot it in a text, post it on social media, whatever you want to do, sharing these episodes helps more people find them. And while you're doing that, if you could rate and review these episodes, that would also be so appreciated. If you're looking for more, you can follow us on Instagram at thesundaymonday_ or visit us online at www.thesundaymonday.co, where we have tons of articles and free resources designed to help you be bold in your faith, work, and life. Until next time, thanks so much for being here. Get back to work. I love you all. Bye.